Thank you, Wesley. Welcome to a really big room. I'm so glad that this room is not full, that all we have here is our Chekhov family, Chekhov decision makers, to talk about beef demand. That's a good feeling. It's a little family, but an important family. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about beef demand today. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about how we're going to transition from what we knew in the old committees into the work we're going to do in the new committees. So here we go. I promise I'm not going to talk for an hour. So don't. After lunch. Talk for an hour after lunch. That's the best assignment in the world. So if anybody snores too loud, the next door neighbor, just poke them with your elbow so I won't get all worried about you. So today we're going to talk about what demand means, what demand drivers are, the Chekhov budget and the role in maintaining demand, how the Chekhov accomplishes increases in demand, including the updated committee structure, the achievements of the Chekhov toward reaching long-range plan objectives, and what's ahead for you in the next few hours. I don't often like to start with a negative, but I'm going to today, because sometimes it's easier to explain things by first explaining what they are not. And in the case of beef demand, I think it's easiest to understand that demand is not consumption. Now, I'm no economist. That's the disclaimer right up front. So if anybody has any really technical questions, let's find the economist in the room. But I will tell you, beef demand is commonly confused with beef consumption, although the two are very different. And here's what I like to say. Simply put, you can't eat what you don't make. So consumption is a measure of what we eat. It's a measure of inventory in our business. Domestic production and imported supply of beef and beef products divided by the number of people eating. So if that's the definition of consumption, what happens when supply decreases? Consumption decreases. Okay? So that said, what is beef demand? And why does the Chekhov care so much about demand rather than caring that much about consumption? In demand, prices adjust to clear the market, whatever the supply. So if consumers are willing to pay more, the market reflects that in demand, regardless of what the supply is doing. Does that make sense? Price adjusts to clear the market. So even when volume is low, as it is now, and through the next year or two at least, we expect, demand and strength, the strength of demand can grow. Demand can grow when supply is low, and that's what we're seeing right now. I understand demand is up 2%, even though prices are up, because prices are up, in a low supply situation. So it's critical to understand what demand is before you go to work on the Chekhov, because what you cannot control is supply. And what you can influence is demand. The key about demand is that it's all about the consumer, right? Beef demand goes beyond a simple quantity and measures consumer desirability and consumer preference. Those are two things the Chekhov knows very, very well: beef desirability and consumer preference for our product. The economy plays a factor, right? We can't control the economy. We probably can't control disposable income, but we can influence consumers' desire to pay more for our product, thereby supporting and maybe even growing demand in a time when we have little product to offer them and prices are high. So, what are demand drivers, if we understand what demand is, and we understand that in times of low supply, prices will be high, and it's our job to increase consumer preference for our product in those prices, what are demand drivers? You'll recognize the demand driver term from the new committee structure. So in the domestic consumer preference committee, there are subcommittees. And those subcommittees are named after what we know to be, from Chekhov-funded research, as drivers of demand. So what are they? Demand drivers are those things that make consumers want, or sometimes in negative cases make them not want, in the case of demand limiters, to purchase beef and beef products. Economic determinants are at the top of the driver list. What does that mean? It means consumers' disposable income, right? It means what the economy is doing. Can we control the economy? No. Can't control supply. We can't control the economy. And so without total control over the economy of supply, we have to find those things in the checkoff that we can control, like consumer preference. Consumer trends are demand drivers. Qualities of our products, such as taste, consistency, and convenience, do these sound familiar? Are consumer demand drivers. Changes in consumer demographics, changes in lifestyles, those are demand drivers. And so what we try to do in the checkoff is do adequate market research so that we understand what those drivers are in a changing consumer environment, and play to our strengths with beef checkoff money. We can improve and tell consumers about beef safety, for example. We can deliver more consistent quality product, including taste and tenderness. We can offer convenience to consumers, and we can respond to other things they want in the marketplace. We can drive towards certain demographics. Those are things the checkoff can do to support and influence consumer demand. Amazingly enough, the long-range plan reflects these things. So we have four committees that are lined up with our long-range plan core strategies. You'll see those on the screen here. Demand drivers are at the very heart of how the checkoff works toward achieving core strategies of the beef industry long-range plan, but because it's an industry-wide long-range plan, some of those core strategies are appropriate for checkoff work, and some of them are not appropriate for checkoff work. It's an industry long-range plan, not a checkoff long-range plan. So when it comes to assigning goals and priorities for the checkoff, which is something that I talked to you about earlier today, it's the leadership's responsibility, right, to find those priorities and assign those. Then we have to understand the joint committee structure works toward the long-range plan, works toward those core strategies to make sense of what we need to do to support and enhance consumer demand. So what I want to share with you is that these checkoff committees don't mean recreating the wheel. I think some of the concern I've heard this week already is that, why are we doing something completely new? Wasn't it working before? Yeah, it was working before, but I think it's going to work better now. Why do I think that? Because we're focused on the consumer 100%. And the folks in your committees can help all of you see the broader picture about how we're going to drive against long-range plan. So in 2011, if you'll remember, the Beef Board and the Federation agreed to revamp the joint committees, and this is the resulting structure. The structure also aims to raise producer and importer that pay the checkoff, raise your voices into higher-level program decision-making so that individual CBB members and Federation directors have a stronger say in the checkoff process, have a bigger picture of how everything works together to influence those large consumer demand drivers. So let's look a little bit at the long-range plan goal of improving domestic consumer preference for beef. Now, this is a very big goal. We know that about 85% of what you produce is sold to domestic consumers. about 15% of what you produce goes elsewhere around the world. But 85% is a big percent, right? So this is a big committee, and it's a very important task you have to understand American consumers and what they want. Specifically, I want to talk to you a little bit about consumer advertising, mainly because our research at the Beef Board shows that this is the most well-known checkoff program, consumer advertising. And so I think everybody would call it one of the checkoff's major successes. But let me talk to you a little bit about integration in checkoff programs. So what does advertising do? It delivers a controlled, direct-to-consumer message that can influence demand and hit directly on demand drivers. But it's a tool. Some people are surprised when I say that the checkoff is about selling beef. Some people say, actually, I'm more of an educator. Or I just like to talk to consumers about issues. But in the end, what are we doing with checkoff investments? We're selling beef. Advertising is a great way to sell beef. It's not all there is to it. Hang on a minute. But it's a great way to sell beef. In 2012, the advertising campaign appeared in 26 national magazines, generated more than 334 new fans on Beef It's What's for Dinner, and they engaged with the Beef Checkoff. Engagement is the key here, by sharing, linking, and commenting a total of 701,000 times on beef. I'll repeat, those consumers engaged with beef. They shared, they linked, they commented, and they engaged. So what's the most important part, in my opinion, of the consumer advertising program? Is it delivering a direct message? That's important. It's engaging our consumers with our product. And this is how advertising itself and consumer sales have changed. But the important thing to remember is advertising is not an end. It's a means to an end. It's a means to beef promotion, which is a means to selling beef. Experts in consumer advertising, like those the checkoff has working for you, know advertising is part science and part art. But you have to know that even advertising is selecting demand drivers and focusing on things we know consumers want to know to sell beef. And you begin to see how all of your program areas are data-based program areas. Data-based decision-making in advertising and in all of your programs is extremely important. And that's why the checkoff-funded research programs provide that foundational data so that you can make good decisions for that integrated promotion plan. Here's another part of it, convenience. Consumers like handheld products. Why? How many of you have children that sit in the back seat when you drive somewhere? Nobody in the room has a child. We are a diminishing population, and fairly quickly. It's amazing. Well, other consumers have children. Some demographics have a lot of children. Those are our customers. And those folks who have children often want to hand things across the seat and let their kids eat while they're on the way to soccer practice or ballet or one of the myriad of things that parents are responsible for driving their children to these days. Handheld products are things that we need. Consumers want convenience. Most consumers, I think you saw from John Lundeen's research this morning, spend less than 40 minutes deciding and preparing meals. That's a convenience issue. We have several new handheld products, and we're going to keep having handheld products because you know that we're not winning the handheld products race at this point in time? Who is? Chicken McNuggets. I can't say anything bad about chicken, but I don't like it. I can say that. That's an opinion, right? It's not a fact. I don't like it. And I can't believe people would eat it if they have a choice, right? They're our competitor. We have to stay focused on being a better protein than our competitors. And this is the kind of thing we do do that. Philly cheesesteak bites, beefy queso bites, and Reuben bites. They all sound good. If I hadn't just eaten, I'd wished we had a sampling here. I want to talk to you also about some of our success in the international markets. As you know, as I hope you know, unless you lived under a rock, Japan is on the upswing. We have reduced trade restrictions in Japan. We have an enormous potential in Japan. We have made hay even while we had restrictions in Japan, and now we're going to make more hay. Japan was once the mainstay of U.S. beef export markets. It peaked in 2001, reaching more than 1.1 billion, with a B, pounds of U.S. beef. The totals declined after BSE, but they continue to rebound despite the restrictions we had, and we expect them to rebound even further at this point in time. But one thing to remember, as long as we're talking about consumer demand drivers, is that every consumer population is different. So when we study consumer demand drivers in the U.S., are those drivers the same in Asia? Are those drivers the same in the Middle East? Are they the same in any other market in the world? I can tell you no. And I can only tell you that from very recent knowledge I've gained. I'm going to be heading to Japan in a few months. I'm trying to learn as much as I can about it before I go. And the little bit of knowledge, which is always a dangerous thing, that I've learned so far is the Japanese consumer is much different than the American consumer. That may seem like a no-duh kind of thing, but we can't give them what we like and expect them to love it. They have separate demand drivers. It's a complicated thing, and we have to do it right if we're going to take advantage of these markets that we have in front of us. Central and South America are also a growing market for us. What about nutrition and health? How important is that to our consumer? Experts talking to experts is one of the mainstays of the Beef Checkoff's Nutrition and Health Program. Together, the science program and the PR program in integrated fashion focused on nutrition and health in a powerful punch, and BOLD is a great example. Checkoff-funded beef in an optimal lean diet study has recognized ongoing media attention since its publication. The BOLD study findings were mentioned in numerous magazines, Shape on Reuters, FoxNews.com, WebMD, Men's Fitness, the list goes on and on. It was a groundbreaking piece of research for the Beef Checkoff program. It wasn't cheap, and it wasn't quick. Most of the good things in life aren't. This is the type of groundbreaking research that your checkoff dollar needs to continue to focus on if we're going to make a difference in the biggest limiter on demand right now. Not that the Nutrition and Health Committee has anything to do. Speaking of PR, it's one of the areas that addresses a lot of demand drivers. The new committee structure will allow decision-making on each driver to clarify and focus the program to continue to meet consumer needs. As you, the leaders, gain a more thorough understanding of how the program is a tool to achieve and improve consumers' demand. So PR, media pitches, fact sheets, recipes, social media, online engagement. What I'm telling you here is that advertising is a layer of your program But in today's environment, with incredible consumer clutter, you have to have a multi-layered approach. And that's what I think is the most beautiful thing about this new committee structure. Is nobody, I think, is going to be fighting over whether advertising or PR are more important. Which one is more important? I think you're going to be understanding that this layered approach to complicated consumer demand is what works best in today's environment. I love that idea. Talk about the antibiotics symposium that was held in 2012 and in 2011, talking about one of the forefront issues, I think, in the beef industry. Right now, and it's a growing issue, the Chekhov funded the ability to sit down and talk about it and decide what we might do about it in the future. You all know that it's a hot-button issue. The only way we're going to get through it is to sit down and work through it together. This is a freedom to operate issue. Where do we need to be in the future with this issue? What do we need to learn to be able to make those decisions? Do we need additional research? Do we need think tanks? What do we need? And really, how big is this issue to consumers? We need to know that too. So freedom to operate is that type of work. Think about our sustainability education effort. Farm tours, the Beef Quality Assurance Program, the National Beef Quality Audit, Cattlemen Stewardship Review, the Beef Industry Sustainability Assessment, all of these are functions of our freedom to operate. Why does the Chekhov care? We're not into production research, right? We're into consumer demand efforts. We care because consumers care. And we've got to be able to give them the good message about beef sustainability. Now, many of you know I come from a communications and PR background. And my theory on communications and PR is, hold your breath, tell the truth. Tell the truth. I'm good at telling the truth because my mom taught me that you're a terrible liar, and if you don't tell the truth, somebody's always going to catch you. And I've carried that throughout my career. Because guess what? You tell the truth, or somebody is going to catch you. Because we got a lot of somebodies trying to catch us right now. So we need to know the truth through our sustainability efforts to be able to tell it to our consumers, and that's why the Chekhov cares about the freedom to operate. So as we look ahead, I'm sure it's no surprise to any of you that budget constraints top the list of challenges for the Beef Chekhov program. I was advocating for a budget constraints committee, but I lost. We have an issue with shrinking dollars in the Chekhov program. But I will tell you that this type of decision that you will be able to make in this new committee structure will allow you to make better decisions on behalf of the Beef Chekhov, will allow you to be more efficient with your priority setting, will allow you to direct staff and contractors better, because big picture, consumer-based decisions work better. And so even though we do have a resource issue, I can tell you that I firmly believe this new committee structure is a path to the future for better Chekhov programs. You've probably seen this graph a lot. Of course, a chart depicting the cost of living over the same time period draws an opposite incline. So the challenge is very clear. Beef demand is a huge thing for us to influence. It's huge. We have to start doing more with less. And I believe the decisions you make for the rest of today and as you move into the future as the leaders of the Chekhov program will be better because of this. And I can't tell you this enough. Use your voice. I've been to some committee meetings, in my time with the Chekhov. And sometimes I notice that there are some people in the room and they sit there and they kind of never say anything. And I wonder, is that because they're really, really happy with what's going on? I love that. It's a good thing if you're really happy. But maybe once in a while those people have questions. And I would challenge you as committee members and committee leaders to engage every person in the room to see what they think. Because you all are the experts on your business, and you engage experts on your on marketing and promotion to help you. So your engagement is absolutely critical, critical to the success of the program. And I told you I wouldn't talk for an hour, because there's plenty of time for questions, if we have any. And if they're really hard, I'll let Rick answer them. Yeah, that was a great look. But otherwise, I am done, and I hope that you have a wonderful afternoon full of engagement and very serious decision-making, because I don't know how to tell you this better. It's up to you. It's up to you. Somebody came up to me last night and said, "Why are you doing this, and why are you doing this, and why are you doing this?" And I said, "Aren't you on the board? Why am I doing this?" You're on the board. If you don't like it, speak up. You make the decisions around here, and that's what I'm telling you. You make the decisions. Go forth and conquer. Thank you.